Hello and welcome to The Inner Gamer, episode 133. We are your weekly dose of video game news, reviews, opinions, and discussions made for and by our listeners. My name is Brett Yanosky.
I'm Devin Dury.
And I'm Luis Gonzalez.
Today on The Inner Gamer, we don't play too many games. Luis plays Spire, Brett plays Splatoon 2. We have a lot of games coming up for the free games of the month, including Just Cause 3, Assassin's Creed, Freedom Cry. On Xbox One, we have Slime Rancher, Trials Fusion, no one's going to play it, Bayonetta, and Red Faction Armageddon. Then with our upcoming releases for the next week, there's a ton. Stay tuned because it's a lot. Some news in the gaming world. We have Atari and Sega retro consoles are announced. 70 people ran a Super Mario 64 speedrun coached by actual speedrunners. We got the details included on that, so it's pretty incredible. And then finally, to round out our discussion topic this week, the summer slog is over. Now we are entering into the hard fall and winter releases, and we are going to give our top five of the most anticipated games for the rest of 2017. So stay tuned. It's a lot. Brett, you don't have to cue the music. We got someone else doing it. Thanks, Ferris.
Cueing it now.
Damn it.
Welcome to the Inner Gamer.
It is August 1st, 2017. Welcome, everybody, to the Inner Gamer Podcast. If you like what you hear, please help support the show on Patreon. Head over to theinnergamer.net and click donate to contribute. Now, let's talk about some video games. Louise, you have a game to share that is awesome. Tell us about it.
It is awesome. Yeah, this was back in the Xbox 360 days. In fact, about 7 years ago, this wonderful game called Bastion was released by these developers. So Namer Supergiant Games, the two designers who actually formed the studio were former EA developers that just said, I'm done with this. I'm done. And they just got up and left. At the time, it was only six guys and girls. Now it's 12. They've made Bastion, critical commercial success. They made Transistor, critical and commercial success. And their newest game, Pyre, released on July 25th, 2017. And it is unlike anything I have ever played. Pyre is an action role-playing video game that is actually kind of ingrained in a sport, which sounds strange, but hear me out a little bit. You control a character who's called the Reader, and the Reader can be a girl or a guy, depends on what you select at the beginning, and you quickly meet three other exiles from this place called the Commonwealth. There's the Commonwealth and the Downside. And the basic gist of it is, in order to win your way back into the Commonwealth, you have to, in this band of three exiles, or a band of three exiles, depending on the party members you select, win your way back from the Downside back into the Commonwealth. And you do that through what are called rites. And this is where the game gets really, really crazy on the gameplay side of things. Up until then, you're point-and-click adventuring. Devin, I really think you'd like this. It kind of reminds me a lot of...
It
reminds
like
me of Day of the Tentacle. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Like, yes. So
if you like those LucasArts games, I think you'd love these initial parts because it's not super in-depth early on, but there's small crossroads where you click, okay, I'm going to go this direction versus this direction, and depending on which direction you go, you gain stats here or you lose stats here or something happens. And in these rites, back to the gameplay side of things, you're basically playing basketball mixed with like Dota mixed with Rocket League, and it looks like Transistor. It's isometric top down, and you control three exiles. They're called the Triumvirate, is what the three exiles. Basically, a team is called the Triumvirate, and they go and they basically fight against each other. There's a Pyre, which is just a flame on one side and another Pyre on the other side. Those are the goals. And every time you have an orb, every time the orb hits the other person's Pyre, they lose a certain amount of points depending on the type of character you have. And the basic gist is take all their points down to zero and you win. But getting there is what's interesting. It's super, super difficult to explain, but once you get into it, it's pretty simple to play. And just like Rocket League, it's easy to pick up, very difficult to master. But you're basically just playing basketball. Like, you zone people out. Like, everyone has this sort of area of effect around them. And if you have the ball, if you hit that area of effect, you automatically just evaporate into thin air. Whereas if you don't have a ball, you can shoot a beam out to, you know, blow up other people or attack other people. And you're constantly doing this and having to juggle and pass in between your different players. And as long as you take down the other opponent's pyre, you're good to go. Wow. And you'd think, man, okay, that sounds a little difficult. At the onset it is, but once you get down to the very nitty-gritty, it's pretty amazing. But the gameplay is just one half of it. Like I was saying earlier, this point-and-click adventure part of it is incredible. The games look amazing. If you've ever seen what Bastion and Transistor look like, you imagine that this game would look amazing. It's reviewing well, and it's just it's a hodgepodge of really cool and interesting topics that aren't really visited a whole lot by games like this. You think about what's the last point-and-click adventure game that was, you know, this renowned, at least in this in the limelight, if you'll call it that. And I haven't played anything like it. It's just super strange. And the one thing that does suck is because you're playing it, it's all basically single player. There's multiplayer, but it's local. There's no online. And yeah, there was actually an interview that they did where they talked about why they didn't do it. But I highly recommend it. And I honestly, you have to look at photos of it to even begin to start asking questions about it. But even with those photos, it's tough to even say much. You have to play it to experience it. It's something else, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm excited. So you have the basketball part, and then you said the point and click adventure. Is it still like the top, like the isometric kind of view where you're moving your character around, or is it like where you're, it's a flat screen and you're clicking on objects on the screen, or what it like?
So it's actually, it's a mix of those things, because the point and click adventure parts are, if you've played any game that, you know, I don't know, from like Fire Emblem to even like the new Puyo Puyo, where you have an avatar and there's two avatars talking and then the text box is below them and they kind of like push back the other avatar when the other one's talking and that kind of thing. That's where the point and click adventure starts to kind of come into play. There's also like a few like scenes that you'll be put into where there's different objects that you can interact with and clicking on them does different things. You can click on people to talk to them and you can kind of choose your dialogue options in between those things. Other than that, that's really how you progress the game forward until you get into the actual rites themselves. And that's where like the bulk of the gameplay is. Obviously, that's you're competing in the rites. But it's interesting. Like I said, it's really tough to explain. You'll have to kind of jump in on your own to see what I'm talking about. And the best thing about it is there's just a lot of variety. It's meant to be played multiple times through, because if you take a certain crossroads, certain choices later on in the game aren't made available to you. So the whole point is to build up your team based on how you think the reader would react in certain situations. And that changes your team composition. It changes whether or not certain people are available for certain rites. For example, there's this guy named Rookie. He's this weird, like ferret looking dude. And you go into like the third or fourth rite and he comes across someone he hasn't seen in a while, but he's frightened of him. And so in that rite, there's this, or just before that, right, there's a decision point where you basically have to do, like, you do one or two things, and one will kind of pump him up and get him ready to go and, you know, fight in the right, and the other one freaks him out and he sits it out. And so I did that one, and I couldn't use him at all. And there's different pieces of that kind of come into play, and there's upgrade systems and all the other RPG elements you'd expect, but it's a mix of weird gameplay elements. Until you jump in, you really won't know.
I bought it. I just haven't played it yet.
Have you? Okay.
Yeah.
How much was it?
I think $20, right, Louise?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's $20, man. Devin, if there's anyone of the three of us, or the four of us, really, that would enjoy this game, I really think you would. And it's not even because of the point-and-clicker adventure parts. I think it's just the whole... It's extremely story-focused. Like, I've never played a sports game that really does that, or any sort of game that involves a competitive kind of nature to it. And the rites really feel like you're a part of it. And what's really cool is the people you go against in the rites too, they have their own stories. And a lot of times you'll feel guilty for beating a family of three, like a daughter, a brother, and a son, or like a father or something, and you make them lose. And if they lose, that's one step back from them being able to no longer be exiled and join the Commonwealth again. So there's strange story beats like that I think make it extremely worthwhile outside of just the game, man. And Brett, I think you'd enjoy it as well.
Yeah, I'm excited to play it, because I mean, I love Bastion. I bought Transistor. I haven't played it yet, but I'm sure it's going to be awesome. And just this looks beautiful. It's a very pretty game. It's,
oh, definitely.
It looks like a lot of fun.
It runs well, too.
Is it a dig for you?
Oh, super dig. I'm excited to jump in. It's one of those games you can't just pick up. You kind of have to set some time aside and go through it because it is very reading intensive, story intensive.
Right.
You really don't want to miss those beats because the relationships that you kind of start to see, the cracks in people's personalities that you see starting to form, there's a lot of conflict, and you start to unveil why people got exiled, and there's just all these crazy little bits and pieces in there that are really worth paying attention to. But super dig, man. If you're even thinking a little bit about getting it, you should.
Awesome. Very cool.
I am now.
I know, Ray. It's pretty awesome. I want to do a quick follow-up to Splatoon 2. We talked about it extensively last week, but I played more of it, and I wanted to just kind of recap some of the things that I've discovered now that I've essentially explored every piece of the game now. Leveling is nice. You level quickly. You play games, whether it be ranked or whatever, and you level up, and as you level up, you can you unlock the store. So I finally got in the store where I can now buy weapons and clothing and gear, and that's a cool component of the game that I didn't realize was to the level it was, because the weapons that you get have different abilities. Like, you have this paint roller that's really wide spread that will just paint this massive row down through a lane, which is awesome. And then they have the dualies that you can go around. They just shoot dually fires.
The dualies.
And every single one of them has a different secondary, like grenade, or like they have one that's like a curling thing that like curls paint across the floor. And then they also have a special of some kind where, I think it's a dualies, where you press a button and you launch up in the air and you can just like fire like rocket paint bombs all over the place, which is really awesome. So there's all these different expandabilities to these weapons that they have, and there's different upgradable ones that you use with coins to purchase them. And the clothing you purchase has special abilities attached to the clothing, which I didn't realize. I thought it was all cosmetic.
Thought it was all just aesthetic.
Same here. Yeah. I didn't know that either.
So each clothing item that you purchase has some kind of like ability upgrade. So for example, one of them will make you move faster as a salmon through the paint to collect paint faster. One of them will make you move faster in enemy splatter so that you're not like super slowed down. One of them will make you reload your weapon faster. So there's different upgrades. And then as you use that piece of clothing and you get to a certain level in the game, you unlock a second tier of abilities for that piece of clothing that gives you an additional upgrade. So there's a lot of incentive to keep playing the game and unlocking and furthering your level in the progression system.
Interesting.
That makes it, you know, that much more dynamic.
Yeah.
And it's that part was really cool. And they upgrade maps and modes every week. Like in the last week, they brought out a new weapon and like two new maps, and they rotate the map. So it's not like you have an access to 8 to 10 maps at a time. They have two that are going on at one time. And when you first go into the game, they have this little like newscast thing where these two inklings are in there and they tell you, hey, we have this new thing that just came out. Here's what's changed. Here's the new weapon that's been released this week. Here's this. So you, rather than having to like go look at change notes or whatever to find out what
patch
new,
notes,
they tell you in a video notes to let you know what's happening in the game that week.
I kind of like that. A nice dynamic way of displaying what they've changed and updated.
Yeah.
I like that. That's cool. That's clever.
They have a new event next week, and I haven't figured out what the event is going to be. But they've announced that you can choose what side you are on, whether you're a ketchup fan or a mayonnaise fan. And you pick which one of those sides that you're on in the game. And then the event happens next week and teams will be fighting each other. I don't know if it's based on
ranking.
Well,
it's going to be all ketchup.
Yeah.
It's going to be all ketchup.
And it's
mayonnaise is fucking disgusting.
Oh, I love mayonnaise. It's so good.
You would.
I don't know. I'm like torn. Do I want ketchup or mayonnaise? I haven't decided. But it's funny because as you're walking around in the Inkling Square, they have little avatars that people can draw above their heads. And some people have illustrated like their mayonnaise fandom, and some people have illustrated their ketchup fandom.
Yeah, I'm sure the mayonnaise fandom looks a little adult.
There's a lot of like personality to this whole entire game experience, and I really like it. And then they have the Salmon Run cooperative experience, which I only played single player, but Salmon Run is basically Horde mode, except in
That's
this
cool.
game. So
That's
you can
cool.
have up to, I think, 4 players or something and like fight off waves of enemies and have to collect these gold balls to return them to this thing. And you get them from bosses that you have to fight. and then go and return them in a set amount of time. And it's just this really cool additional game mode that is like a whole different piece. So you have your multiplayer, you have your single player story, and then you have Salmon Run, all part of this one game. So this is one of those like ARMS I felt like wasn't worth the $60 on the onset. This one I feel like has enough content right at the beginning to be worth that $60. And
that's
they're
cool.
releasing new content every week.
Right.
Which is really cool. So
good on them.
I'm liking it.
Yeah.
I'm liking it a lot. It's been fun. So if you guys haven't picked it up yet, highly recommended checking
Splatoon
it out.
Splatoon 2. I think I may go ahead and get that. Like that might be something I
can all play together. Splatter.
I may buy it right now.
Awesome. Cool. Anybody got anything else to talk about?
Dude, I didn't play anything. I didn't get a chance to.
Just beat Metal Slug 3. That's cool.
Yeah. I beat Metal Slug 3 while we were recording.
Yeah. I was like, what are these credits rolling? I was like, oh, he's been playing Metal Slug. Just finish it.
Started it and beat it.
Yep.
Just saying.
Awesome, guys. Well, that's it for the games we played this week. Stay tuned for our upcoming video game news, releases.
Tons of releases next week. Stay tuned.
Itself.
There's a lot coming up.
It's awesome. It's going to be a super long segment. It's going to be fun. So we'll be back after the break.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
Welcome back. It's time for our games of the month. It is a new month. We have August here. We are reaching the end of summer.
Oh, thank gosh.
The beginning of fall, all that good stuff.
Slog is over.
The slog is coming to an end.
If you want to hear our discussion about the slog of 2017, go to youtube.com/ theinnergamer.net.
You made it sound like all right, it was like
no, sorry, the Inner Gamer.
Yeah, I was going to say theinnergamer.net, what?
Sorry. So or random. If you go to theinnergamer.net and find that too.
Yeah, there you go.
You made it sound like some sort of Great Depression thing. If you want to hear about the Great Summer Slog of 2017. Sorry.
Tune in now. Awesome. So let's talk about PlayStation 4 first. There are three games coming out for the PlayStation 4 this month on the PlayStation Plus. We have Just Cause 3, where you take Rico Rodriguez on a wild ride to liberate Medici from military dictatorship. Your greatest weapon is your ingenuity and explosions.
Kaboom!
And there's lots of explosions. In addition, we have Assassin's Creed Freedom Cry, which is a standalone adventure that takes place after the events of Black Flag. Guide Adewale on an emotional story.
You
using
have
his
to pronounce
skills.
That.
Yeah.
Adewale.
Adewale?
No, it's Adewale. I've named it now. That's how you pronounce it. It's in the dictionary on Wikipedia. I've already recorded it.
So you're full of
this.
Shit, basically.
Exactly. That's good stuff.
God damn it.
I know. And then we also have Downwell, which is a curious young person venturing down a well in search of untold treasures with only his gun boots to protect him. Have you guys seen Downwell?
Yes.
This game looks crazy, bonkers. It's like black and white and 8-bit and side scrolly. It's kind of like Flappy Bird, except going up or starting from the top, going down. And it's just an endless drop. Where you just have to avoid things and land on platforms and to die. And it's bonkers. It's really cool.
Cool. Yeah, it's free.
And it's free. So check that out. Devin, tell us about the Xbox.
Xbox has a lot of new games coming out for this new month, which is kind of unorthodox for them.
Yeah.
Normally it's like two.
Yeah, what's up with that?
It's normally like two and then a Xbox 360 game, which I feel like 80% of the population has already played.
Right.
But it's still some good stuff this time. It's four titles total. We have Slime Rancher, which is a tale of Beatrix Lebeau, a plucky young rancher who set out for a life of 1,000 light years away from Earth on the far, far range where she tries her hand at making a living wrangling slimes. I've never seen this game before.
I haven't either. Never in my life.
This actually sounds bonkers.
Literally bonkers.
Literally.
Is this
bonkers
our theme? Is this our
two.
Theme this episode? Is bonkers? Is this what we're doing?
Oh, just wait. There's more.
All right. Next one is Trials Fusion. This one is the gold standard platform racer for the next generation of gaming. Built for the Trials franchise, proven gameplay foundation, Fusion challenges players endlessly in both classic and all new ways. I
want to just save people the frustration and tell them right now to not play this game. It is bad. Do not play it. I've played it and
damn,
it sucks.
Man.
And I like racing games.
Dude, I was going to say, like, I remember the Trials Fusion. I did try it. No.
Yeah.
It's, no.
Yeah. Yeah, look, just look at reviews online. You'll see like the user ratings and it's like 2 stars, 2 or 3 stars. It's so bad.
Skip Trials Fusion. Next up is a really good one, Bayonetta. It's a witch with powers beyond the comprehension of mere mortals. Bayonetta basically is your female protagonist, God of War, hack and slash, big monsters, lots of crazy, outlandish, weird.
It's very fast-paced.
It's very fast-paced. I say God of War. I guess it's more Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah.
But mixed with some really magical...
Is this like Devil May Cry at all?
Yeah.
I see that in my head as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. It's a weird hyper-fantasy setting.
Right.
I enjoyed it, though. It is a lot of fun, even though like the main character is obviously very like hyper-sexualized kind of stuff going on. But it's still very cool. A lot of fun. Big hacky slashy stuff.
Anime.
Boobies everywhere. Last but not least is the Red Faction Armageddon. Half a century after the Red Faction resistance freed Mars, the Red Planet again becomes a battleground. It's Red Faction. Blow a whole shitload of stuff up and keep blowing it up.
I played the first Red Faction and enjoyed myself being able to blow shit up. And then I played Armageddon and they took you underground and it wasn't as satisfying because there wasn't as much to blow up.
It was like
this one.
What was a weird?
I thought it was fun.
I mean, yeah, it's fun, but it was just such a different dynamic because, you know, Red Faction, I always think about you're looking at big freaking buildings and big landscapes and lots of like structures and shit to blow up. And this time with you being underground, it's kind of limiting. It's still fun. It's just it was a totally different dynamic.
Yeah.
You ever run into this like facility and then blow up like the first 20 buildings in front of you and then you're like, oh, shit, I have no cover.
You quickly realize I should not have destroyed that. I needed that for hiding from bullets. Oh, well. Onward and upward. But that's it for the Xbox games. If for being free, some of them were worth it. Obviously not Trials Fusion. Don't get it.
Yep. Don't waste basically. All right. So on the upcoming video game releases we have this month, as we mentioned last podcast, we are getting into crazy months of video game releases, and this week we have five games coming out. On August 2nd we have Tacoma on the Xbox One and PC. Tacoma is from the creators of Gone Home, Fulbright Company, and it's a sci-fi narrative adventure set aboard a high-tech space station in the year 2088. You explore every detail of how the station's crew lived, worked, finding clues that add up to a gripping story of trust, fear, and resolve in the face of disaster. If anybody has played Gone Home, they'll know that it's very much an adventure exploration kind of game where you read everything, you investigate everything that's in the space that you're in. This game's going to be no different, but it's taken another step further with the space setting. I am extremely excited about this game and can't wait
to play it. I thought this game came out a while ago.
I know.
I've been waiting for it for so long. It felt like it's taken forever to get here.
Been in production for a while. They delayed it a couple times to make it better and better. So yeah. It's been a lot.
Hopefully it's as good as Gone Home.
Right. Yeah. And then August 8th, we have four games coming out all on the same day. First one is Ark Survival Evolved on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. This has been early access on the PC for quite a long time. It's officially coming out. This is basically a survival game. You're stranded naked, freezing and starving on an island, and you must hunt, harvest, craft items, grow crops, and build shelters to survive. You use your
PUBG,
skills
except
to
in
kill, tame, breed, and ride dinosaurs and primeval creatures living on Ark and team up with hundreds of players or play locally. So you basically like play a survival game like Rust or whatever, except you have dinosaurs and you can ride pterodactyls and stuff.
Yep.
It's pretty awesome. Next, we have Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice. I probably said that name wrong, but hopefully it's right.
That's right.
PS4 and PC. From the makers of Heavenly Sword, Enslaved, and Devil May Cry, a warrior's brutal journey into myth and madness. Set in the Viking Age, a broken Celtic warrior embarks on a haunting vision quest into Viking hell to fight for the soul of her dead lover.
There's a lot of Viking in that.
There is a lot of Viking in that.
There's Viking.
This game had a cover story in Game Informer, and I didn't pay much attention to it, but now that it's coming out, I remember how beautiful it looked.
Yeah.
And this is not going to be a full price game, which is even more intriguing.
Blows my mind.
So
I wonder if it's like 2 or 3 hours.
It might be. I don't know. whole city.
There's a lot in this game. Like, a lot happening in this game.
Dear Lord.
Yeah. Like, it looks really good.
Gameplay-wise, visually.
Next up, we have Lawbreakers on the PS4 and PC. This is Cliff Bleszinski's first independent title into the world of first-person shooters. You bring your skills and get ready to deliver death from every angle as you compete in unprecedented gravity-defying combat in Lawbreakers, the new first-person shooter. That is really fun. We've played it a little bit, and it is very cool. So it's finally coming out on the 8th. And last but not least, Mega Man Legacy Collection 2. Not much to be said about this other than it's Capcom, and you get Mega Man 7, 8, 9, and 10 all in one collection. So PS4, Xbox One, and PC. If you guys like Mega Man, check it out.
Yeah.
I like Mega Man.
Oh, yeah, like there's like indifference and...
Oh, yeah, I love Mega Man. I just like, this doesn't excite me. Give me a new like high graphics.
How do you not get excited about Mega Man?
Graphics. Yeah, come on, man. Should be excited
like,
right
Mega
now.
Mega Man 2 was like a work of art.
There's certain games I just can't go back and play anymore.
I forget. You're one of those people who doesn't go back and play games.
Like me.
I get it. Well, it comes a point where like they've reached their limit, in my opinion.
All right. So moving on to the gaming news, we have our first article of the week. Nintendo Switch has sold a whopping, absolutely whopping 4.7 million units since it came out. And ARMS and Mario Kart are some of the biggest sellers on the platform.
Okay, how have they done that? They've been in such high demand and no one's been able to get them. How have they sold 4.7 million units? Is this like in Japan as well? Or
I think this is worldwide.
Okay, then that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so they've done really well with this console. Clearly it's not going away. They are putting a lot of support behind it.
No, they are they're kicking it.
And it's impressive. So, and then they also even had the 3DS that sold almost 1 million units this quarter, which is crazy.
What?
Yeah, like that's still selling like great, and that's stopped production. So they're doing really, really well with all of their stuff.
Oh man, Splatoon 2 just released outside this quarter. I'm excited to see how much they sold. I've been having a hoot with Splatoon.
The hoot. It's a hoot nanny.
It's a hoot nanny. Hoot nanny.
I love it too. It's been a lot of fun. I was really bummed. Well, I'll talk about. Well, you guys heard about it earlier in the game section, but I was bummed when I found out that there was no split screen co-op. But otherwise, it's amazing. It's really fun. So we have Dragon Quest coming to the West, as they say.
Is that supposed to rhyme?
And then now, not really. I tried, but it failed miserably.
Obviously.
But
God.
But they are bringing Dragon Quest XI, as Louise mentioned, to the West next year. We don't know when exactly, but it will come out next year. And fans around the world are super pumped about this because they've always wanted Dragon Quest to the West. And here it comes.
Forgive me, but this is not the one that was shown at E3, was it?
No.
Okay.
That was that Monster Hunter World.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. I get the two confused a lot.
Yeah.
How they're so wildly different.
I know, right? Don't play these games.
Oh, man. You're a failure at gaming. That's funny.
Hey, I'm learning. Right? I'm expanding my gaming
repertoire
the more I hang out with you guys. So
There we go.
Stop getting mad at me.
No, never.
So this is kind of interesting. This is an article from Kotaku where 70 people ran a Super Mario 64 relay, and it was amazing.
Dude, this is so sweet. Oh, I remember that level. Oh, it's so cool.
They played 70 different people on Super Mario 64 at the same time in Europe. That's where it was. It was in Europe.
Wow.
The 2017 European Speedrunner Assembly. And well-known players and newcomers all over played 64, and they had never speed ran a game before this moment. And
what?
Then they got coached, they had some proof of mastery, the contestants lined up, and the race was off with 2 hours to finish the goal.
Two hours to beat 64.
And
I believe it. I've seen speedrunners. They do witchcraft.
But these people have never sped run before.
Brand new to it, they got taught how to do it, which is cooler.
Yeah, that just sounds awful.
They just barely missed the mark. But it was an incredible achievement and a fresh way to experience a game that's been speedrun to death at so many different events and streams. So that's just kind of cool. Like, let's bring in the speedrunning or the people that don't know about speedrunning into the community of speedrunning. Get them exposed to it. Have a big party about it.
I need you to be continuously tapping Z and A going backwards. Can you do that? I don't know what I'm doing.
What is this controller? That's what I would have been
thinking. Yeah, especially like, with the 64's controller. Oh, absolutely not.
Right.
The worst.
Awesome. So next up, we have Niantic. You guys remember Niantic? Pokemon Go?
Yeah, I think we did a big story on how they completely fucked up an event.
Well, remember those people that went to that event and were super upset?
Yes.
So they're teaming up together to sue Niantic.
Oh, shit. Are you serious?
Yes.
Score. So I guess the refund wasn't enough.
No, they're because everybody's upset because a lot of people flew, paid money to fly to this event in Chicago.
Right.
And now they're like, okay, well, Niantic, you paid us for the event itself, but you didn't pay us for the $400 I spent on plane flights just to go to this event.
Dude, it's going
to
be more than that for people flying overseas.
Well, yeah. International flight. From. Yeah.
Yeah. They're getting together and they're going to be like, hey, sorry guys, we're suing you. Get ready for the thunder of your fans.
Can you be the spokesperson for these
people? I hope they didn't say that,
people?
Brett.
Yeah. I hope Brett's the spokesperson for all this.
Get ready for the thunder of your fans.
That'd be awesome.
Brett, you would lead a mega cult of nerds. I could see it now.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Of mega nerds.
Let's rise up and take down Dick. Bring the thunder and your Articunos.
And everyone's like,
Pokemon. It's a Pokemon. Legendary Pokemon. Out now. Check it out.
Yeah, I see everyone getting these legendary Pokemon, but I just have no... It's shit like this. It just gets me down.
Really?
You enjoy a game so much, but then the developers are just... Don't know what the fuck they are doing.
Basically. So last article we have, this is our worth mentioning article. This one's just kind of cute and awesome. I don't ever use that word very often, but
you do not.
I'm going to use it right now. A dad built his daughter a functional D.Va mech.
That's adorable.
Overwatch. It's adorable.
It's the best.
So there's a picture of her that was taken on Instagram of her in the actual mech roaming around with the mech that her dad built her, and that's just pretty sweet. So kudos to that guy.
I have a few cosplayers on my Facebook feed that are super jealous of this.
Oh really?
Yeah. They want this mech.
Man, it looks really good. I mean, it's not like exactly
right
like replica, but
he spent less than $100 to make it.
That's impressive.
I don't see
that's even more.
Yeah.
That's the feat that should be looked at. There's just no way. Unless this guy had a bunch of stuff just laying around. He must be like an engineer or something. Just had stuff laying around, you know what I mean?
Hey, honey, I built a mech suit.
All right, that concludes our news. If there is something that we missed this week, or if you have feedback on anything that we talked about, please email us at hello@thinnergamer.net. Our discussion this week is on our top 5 most anticipated games to conclude 2017.
Whoop, whoop.
And break.
Bye.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
We have 5 months left in 2017, and our discussion this week, as a result, is on the top 5 most anticipated games to end 2017. There are a lot of games coming out, a lot of games, and we're going to go around the table and talk about our top 5. Starting
how do
with
we even
number
pick
five.
Top 5. We need like top 20.
I know there's a lot.
So many.
There's a lot, but that's okay. We're limiting it to 5.
We did narrow it down to 5.
We did narrow it down to 5.
Impressively.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm.
Otherwise, everyone would have had a top 20.
I know. We basically would have.
Which is all the games coming out in the fall.
My top 30 games for the rest of the year.
Which is
that's like all the games.
Yeah, pretty much is all the games.
At least all the games that are worth playing. You know, like all right. The eats and stuff.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So let's start with number 5, and we're going to go with Devin first. Devin, what is your number 5 most anticipated game?
Number 5 is...
For the rest of 2017.
Divinity Original Sin 2.
Hey.
My first run with Divinity Original Sin, I got to play with a buddy of mine, and this to me is the absolute best translation of everything D&D fantasy role-playing style.
Yeah.
With all the intricacies of your character building, the free world, running around doing everything that you want to do in real time and on your own schedule, as well as all the rules and the combat mechanics. This is the perfect translation of D&D into a computer game. So I loved it. And when I heard that there was another one literally just a couple of months away, I was like, well, this is fucking perfect. Now I've just got to find some people who want to play with me.
So you're playing the first one right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so
it's hard as hell. It does not hold your hand.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I was going to get it until you're like, this is really tech heavy. And I was like, you know what?
Oh, it's super tech heavy.
I don't need to play this.
I'm not a fan. Well, it's like when I realized my first battle that I had was in the rain, and I kept trying to cast an oil spell on people. And I was like, why can I not set them on fire? The rain was washing away the oil. So I was like, wow, this is really... really environmentally, lots of things to take into consideration.
This game sucks.
Oh man,
that's true. That's a lot to take in. But that one is good because I think you might be one of the few people that has that on their list for 2017. So that's pretty awesome. Austin, what is your number five?
It's actually Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice, which I'm very excited that it's coming out, and that begins fall 2017 for me, and it's going to be ridiculous.
So why are you excited about this game?
Just mostly for the cinematic aspect of it. Like, it looks really freaking good. The story looks really, really interesting. And I don't know if you guys watched the cinematic.
No, I haven't, actually.
The launch cinematic. It's this really trippy game where this woman has this mental disorder where she's literally going insane. I don't think that's the right term for it, but there it is, and she goes and fights these dudes.
Yeah,
Vikings all around. I mean, who doesn't want that?
Who doesn't love fighting Vikings?
This game really took me by surprise when they revealed it on the Game Informer cover story, because I didn't hear anything about it until they had that in there, and I was like, why is this a cover story? I don't know anything about this. And then as I read into it more and found out it was from the Devil May Cry guys and things like that, I was like, okay, this is a lot more legs than I was judging a book by its cover, and I should not have done that.
Right.
So
how dare you?
I know. It's pretty bad.
I mean, if you watch what IGN covered, like, this game is, I mean, they're using sound as a huge gameplay element.
Right.
That we don't get. I think that's becoming more of a trend now, but it's still like in the very early stages of.
How do you mean sound is a big game element?
Like, you use sound when you're in the darkness.
Oh,
like,
that's,
oh, really? Yeah.
You have to use that to walk around and find things and.
So is it like the
because you're kind of in her mind, you know?
Okay. Like echolocation kind of stuff, or is
kind
it
of
not that way?
Like Echo the Dolphin, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to use it as echolocation.
Yeah.
But I think there's some more gameplay elements in that too.
Well, like we said, that game is coming out on the 8th, so that's like right around the corner.
It's literally, you're going to get to play your number 5 very soon.
Louise, what is your number 5 game for 2017?
I have no shame. Mario plus Rabbids is my number 5 because
nice.
Strategy is amazing and Mario's amazing, and I guess Rabbids are okay. I don't really. Rayman is amazing. In fact, if you haven't already played, I think it's Rayman Legends, or the one that's coming to Switch as a definitive edition. You need to play that. That's probably the best platformer of the last 5 years, inclusive of Ori and all of those other games. It is an absolute masterpiece. That said, Mario plus Rabbids, man. It's a Switch game with some cool strategy elements, and I think it's just a really interesting mix of things coming at a very interesting time for Nintendo and also for Ubisoft, seeing as though the Switch is brand spanking new.
I think so, too. I mean, I didn't realize when they announced this that this was a Switch exclusive. And
I didn't either, actually.
To me, that's really cool that they got this title. It's Ubisoft's. Well, it's going to be Ubisoft's first foray into the Switch platform, and for being a new IP, that's pretty cool. I'm pumped. I'm really excited about that game.
Yeah, I fully expect this game to sell at least 1 million units because, well, one, I'm going to buy it, so that's indicative of 1 million. So the next 2 million or the next 1 million will be little kids and, you know, a bunch of Nintendo fanboys who just love anything with Mario on the name. So I'm kind of excited.
Right.
I don't know the extent of like multiplayer or something, but if you could do local multiplayer split screen or on the same screen where you're just kind of strategizing across, that would be pretty freaking cool.
I bet you could. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, with what Mario's, or not Mario, Switch has been doing,
yeah,
almost every game they brought out has had some kind of multiplayer component to it, whether it be local multiplayer or online multiplayer. If they did that with this would just seal the deal for me.
It'd be really cool. I can already imagine putting two Switches back to back on like stand mode and playing battleship style, where one side is moving and the other side's going, and you can't see them. So you're just kind of like poker facing it and hoping no one catches
poker
on.
Face in it.
That would be cool.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
They're supposed to. Yeah, there's supposed to be like 200 or something weapons in the game too. So I think there's going to be a lot of variety and a lot of potential for possibly DLC-ish content. So I'm super pumped. In fact, that might be the next game I get if it's not Splatoon 2 here in a couple of weeks.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, my number five game is Wolfenstein: The New Colossus. That is my bottom of the list, but considering there's 20,000 other games coming out, this is very high up on that list. And I love The Last Wolfenstein. Machine Games did I think they're Machine Games. They did a great job with the reboot of Wolfenstein. I had a blast playing that game and seeing this, like what they've done with this, you know, if the Nazis won and what that life would be like in this scenario. Like they showed that little piece of your character walking into that diner and the Nazi guy comes in, orders a shake and is like, "Do you have your papers?" And that weird,
typical like American
moment.
Setting, right?
Yeah, it was. It reminded me a lot of kind of a Fallout experience.
Yes,
except with Nazis.
Yes,
and
not a
Wolfenstein. And then I was watching gameplay of the actual gameplay of when you're in the wheelchair and you're going through and like shooting at people and stuff like that. And that's really interesting to me. I think that concept is really cool. And there's parts where you like fall off the wheelchair and you're like sliding down this ramp and you're like shooting at Nazis as you're going down the hill, like. Game looks great. The characters look great. The gameplay looks great. I think it's gonna be a good game.
It's just another great script by these guys.
Yeah.
So I'm
very
excited.
Very well done. So Devin, back to you. What is your number four?
Number most anticipated? Four is Star Wars Battlefront 2. Duh.
Oh yeah.
Duh. Duh. I've been waiting for this one for a while, and we've talked about it extensively. It seems like we're getting the game that we wanted with the first Battlefront. So now we're getting a story which seems to really be hitting all the right points as far as what a good Star Wars story is supposed to be.
Right.
We've got a good cast list. We've got amazing new multiplayer stuff, as including the map of the Battle of Theed from Episode 1.
Right.
So
we could actually make that.
We could actually make the prequels like a little cool.
Yeah.
Right. So this game just seems like it's going to have all the right elements of what I'm going to want to see from, you know, Star Wars and the Battlefront series. So
right.
This is definitely highly anticipated.
Very cool. Very cool. Austin, what is your number four game?
Number four is Battle Chasers Night War. And this is coming to the Switch, what I'm really, really excited about. It's actually from developers out of Austin.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Austin's building up a gaming thing. I mean, we have the Arcane Studios down there, and then that game I reviewed last week, Avon Colonies, from down there. This game's from down there. Like they're doing it up. I think Overcooked's from down there too. Ghost Town Games,
really?
I believe. I could be mistaken on that, but I think
that's correct too.
I think they're here. So it's a lot.
It's coming October 3rd to Steam, which I just now realized. I've just been focused on the Switch so much I didn't even know. but yeah, it's kind of like I guess. Final Fantasy type gameplay style where there's three, you know, you have your characters, there's three of them, and then you have the other side enemies, and once you get to that battle point, you know, things take turns and attack each other. And I really like the art style. It's kind of anime-esque in a way, and that always really gets me going, as people know more here.
Whoa.
Recently.
Whoa.
Austin. Whoa.
yeah.
Who are you? Anime gets me going too, man. It's all right.
Tell you. So they got some really cool art style, really cool backgrounds, environments, and music, and it just looks like a game for me. And this is the games that I really haven't played before in the past, so I'm really excited to kind of dive into that now with a much more refined and robust system I can take with me anywhere.
Did you say robust?
Yeah.
Robust, awesome. He did. It's
That's
a new
awesome.
Word.
It's a new
it's a
word.
Mix of
it
robust
works.
And musk.
It does
so
look really cool.
Robust musk, you know?
Elon Musk.
It's like, there you go.
I when I first heard about this game, I didn't realize that this is what it was. I don't know, in my head when I kept hearing, I haven't looked up this game to be honest since we've talked about it. Yeah, I have,
okay.
Have it on my screen here. I thought it was like a space combat game, and I'm looking, I'm like, nope, that's not space combat.
So
at all.
This is actually it was a comic, and the guy decided to make it a game, and I'm very happy he did. It was on Kickstarter. I don't know how much it got, but it succeeded its goal by a lot, and I don't know. This game is probably going to be like Hyper Light Drifter, but like 3D.
Sounds interesting.
Not the same gameplay, but right. It just has that kind of feel to me. Yeah.
All right, Louise.
Sounds good.
Number four.
Shadow of War. I really, really enjoyed Shadow of Mordor. It's actually one of the few games in my lifetime that I've 100%ed.
Wow.
And it was more a consequence of I had only played one of the Arkham games, so I was really looking forward to jumping into something with such a tight combat system.
Nice.
And a lot of my reservations about the first game, Austin, I think this was one of your biggest things when playing it, was that the environments were really bland because we were in Mordor and
yeah.
There wasn't really any color anywhere. It was just all black and gray and
varying shades of brown. Fire.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And brown's a good color, but not when it's the only color. And I'm excited because Shadow of War looks like it's going to build upon all of the things that made the first one great. It's going to make it look a little bit better and it'll bring home that aspect of it that was so lacking, which was these environments. And I like the prospect of building upon the Nemesis system and having you actually control armies of Uruks. I think that's freaking fantastic. And I'm just excited to have another super polished, super smooth gameplay experience with this. And Talion is a great character. And I think it's not Nolan North. Troy Baker voices Talion.
So oh, yeah.
He'll be making an appearance. And
he's so good.
Yeah,
so good.
He's so stupid good. So I'm excited to jump more into that stuff. I don't see it on anyone's list. I guess no one really saw
it was hard.
I liked the first one. I kind of fell into the trap of it was kind of, as we mentioned, the environment was a little too bland for me. I was just, mm-hmm. I was so much just ready for something else besides the varying shades of brown. And uh-huh. Then the Nemesis system to me was a little frustrating just because I kept wanting to take out the guy who was really hating on me, but I didn't realize about all the leveling and how you needed to really it was a frustrating system for me at first, so I skipped it.
Yeah. And I didn't play much of it. I wasn't huge into it, but I have bought it again. I'm going to try it again, but because I know how amazing it was
from
everybody I've talked to, and the Nemesis system is apparently, you know, kind of revolutionary.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see if we have more other games that are starting to take that on as we move forward.
Yeah, it really is. It's a really tight game, and it can get pretty technical. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there's a massive tree of abilities and a bunch of different things you can chain together. So there is a little bit of leeway in that. So you have the potential to kind of take it at your own pace. But by the end of the game, I was hitting constantly like 50, 60 combos where I would not get hit by another person. So if you get to that point, it feels nice. Like you're unstoppable. So you just jump into like a base of, I don't know, 100 orcs and you come out the other end not having taken a scratch.
Or
not
wow.
Gotten a scratch. It's awesome. But yeah, that's my number four. Four,
cool.
Sure. See what I did there?
That's good.
Boo.
That's punny.
Boo.
So my number four is a game that has had hit and misses for me, or a franchise that has had hit and misses for me, but Assassin's Creed Origins. I am very intrigued. I've been an Assassin's Creed fan since the beginning, but there have been some games that I didn't like. And this one has captured my attention in the world that they've built, the additional RPG elements that they've implemented into the system that you've never seen in an Assassin's Creed franchise. And I like that, assuming they do it right.
Assuming
they do it right. And
no offense to them, that's a big if.
Yeah. I mean, they're capable of these things. I mean, they're Ubisoft. They have a lot of content that they've brought out over the years and things that they have attempted and tried in the past. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I like the UI has the resemblances of Destiny's UI. So that makes management a lot easier. And I felt as if the skill trees and things like that were reminiscent of Horizon Zero Dawn. And that's interesting to me. And then they have boss battles, which pulls from these much more challenging games, and they've never had boss battles before. I mean, you chase after a guy in the old games and you run him down until you stab him in the chest, and then that's the boss battle. And now they actually have boss battles. So I'm interested to see how all these new elements that they fuse into this game actually impact the final game. And the world is supposed to be, I mean, it's the size of a country. That's right. What they've said. It's the size of a country, which is pretty wild. So
Well, I played it at E3 and
cool.
It's okay.
Cool.
Well, my biggest reservation about Assassin's Creed is, Brett, you talked already about all the different things it's going to try for the first time. I'm scared that they're going to kind of miss the cue on them and kind of introduce a bunch of half-baked ideas versus a lot of
very
harmonious and larger ideas. But it looks pretty, and it will probably play just like Shadow of War, so I'll give it a shot for sure.
Yeah. I mean, if I took away anything, was the world does look different and phenomenal, and I'd like to explore it.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the story and the gameplay will keep me in.
Well, they said, like for the climbing stuff, like this, the climbing in this game is akin to Zelda, where you can climb everything, which this is a first for Assassin's Creed.
Didn't tell me that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I just remembered that part. But you can climb mountains and you can climb pyramids and stuff, and there's not just you have to grip onto these things, supposedly. That's what they're saying is. The climbing is a lot more free in the game. So we'll see if that changes the game any at all. But anyway, on to our number three series. Devin, what's your number three?
Number three is Super Mario Odyssey.
Heck yeah.
We all know the hype is there. We all know that that this is the right game for a lot of people. It's another Switch title that's going to just rock the Nintendo world already. So yeah, this is a given. This is just a given in my opinion. We don't have to discuss any more. What's great about it? We all know what's great about it. This is just one of those solidified in stone titles that I'm going to get.
Right. It's funny. This podcast this year from March onward has become more and more like we're about Switch. This is a Switch podcast.
We used to be so Sony centered.
Yeah.
And be so on board with what PlayStation was offering.
Right.
And we would, you know, some of us enjoyed our Xbox Ones, whatever. I'm probably the only one in that camp, but. That being said, like now it's the Nintendo Switch has just forced itself into the community and has made such a presence that these games are just going to knock it out of the park, man.
Right.
Thank you.
And Odyssey looks so good.
Thank you, Nintendo.
I'm super excited about Odyssey. It's going to be good. That's a good number three for sure. Austin, you're number three. Tell us.
Wolfenstein, New Colossus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's Queen.
I mean, I still remember that summer where Brett, you were telling me to play
Wolfenstein.
Which one was it?
New Order.
The New Order.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, okay, I'll jump into it. And you kept saying, "Oh, it's so cool! It plays old, like an older, you know, an older shooter, but it's still really good." And I didn't believe you, but man, that first cutscene where just battling, flying in with the plane, and it crashes. It's just like, oh my gosh, this is intense and it's amazing.
Yeah, there's a million things happening on screen.
I mean, I was in it the whole way, and there are a few games I can say the whole way I was just in this game. Like, it had me at every turn and bad guy, and so I'm excited for this one.
Nice. Yeah, Wolfenstein is just gripping all around, and if you haven't played Return to Castle Wolfenstein, which came out in 2001, you should give that one a shot too, because a lot of what the New Order and what the Old Blood and soon to be the New Colossus kind of drew from was that original Return to Castle Wolfenstein. And you can get it on Steam for like $2 or something like that. I have no idea. But I recently beat it again. It is very, very good. And if you want something to kind of, I mean, it's very old school, so you're going to have to bear with that. But if you enjoy older shooters, it still plays really tight. It aged pretty well, in my opinion. Should play that one too, because that one is probably going to be pulled from quite a bit. There's a lot of continuity in these.
Yeah. Cool. So that's Austin's number three. Louise, what is your number three?
Well, it really, really stinks because apparently the new season of South Park got delayed, but I'm still super, super stoked for South Park, the Fratric Red Hole. Has anybody played the first one? I don't know if all three of you all played it.
Yes.
Stick of Truth?
I got halfway through it.
Blasphemy.
That's not good, man. It gets way better at the end.
See, I
can understand it because it's a very shallow game. Yeah. I can understand that.
I think something else came out at the time. I just got sidetracked.
Yeah.
Point is, it's kind of like how people were saying, man, if only we could bring Pixar movies into video games verbatim, that would be amazing. Yeah. We're at that point now. And last generation, we were at the point to bring South Park one-to-one into the console generation. I'm most excited about this because it's taking the, as opposed to the Lord of the Rings route, it's taking the superhero route, And I'm super excited for them to sort of infuse that with a Fire Emblem type turn-based strategy aspect to it. I like that new birth of gameplay as opposed to just turn-based kind of, you know, click, 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 Final Fantasy type type deal. So it's South Park. Like, I really don't know what else to say on that front. If you like South Park, you will enjoy these games. Trey and Matt have come out and said that they put as much time and love into these games as they do their own episodes. So you can expect a full 10-hour South Park episode or movie, if you'll call it that, out of this game, which is awesome.
Or you can be a stripper and play a lap dance minigame.
There's going to be a lot more of that, man. The first I'll never forget when you fight the gnomes on, I don't know whose parents' bed it is.
Yeah.
And there's stuff swinging in the background and you're like, what's going on?
Stan.
I think that actually might be
it. Who's Randy's dad? Or who's Randy's son?
Stan.
Yeah, Stan. Stan's parents. Because I think it was
Stan Randy Marsh.
George. Yeah.
Stan George.
It's such a good.
Oh, man, it's good stuff. All right.
You're going to have a bad time. Not with this game, though. That's my number three.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Whoa, Brett, what's your number three? Let me tell you what number
don't
three is.
Don't do that. Don't. Do not be that fucking guy.
I had to do it.
I'm so clever.
This is how friendships end.
Yes.
And Brett does shit like this. You're teetering, buddy.
Three is going to surprise people potentially, but it's Call of Duty World War II.
I believe it.
After having played 40 minutes of this game almost at E3, I may actually be excited about a Call of Duty again. Well, clearly I am excited because it's my number three. But I cannot wait to play this game. I like what Sledgehammer did with Advanced Warfare. It was one of the first Call of Duties in a long time that I enjoyed. And this one is looking to be the same now that they've revealed the zombie mode and how it's dark and gritty and you have the World War II aspect. I've missed that. I missed that from Call of Duty. I wasn't all about the wall jumping nonsense and all
it
that
was
stuff.
Kinda stupid.
So, yeah.
It added a whole other level of just
unnecessary.
Yes.
Yeah.
People were so good at it. I wouldn't even move. I'd just die from across the map. They jump up high and then look at me and go, poof.
I mean,
I was like, well,
when they told
this game
me
sucks.
This game is boots on the ground, I was like, sold. I mean, they said it like 3,000 times, but boots on the ground. I mean, I was sold. So that's my number three, Call of Duty World War II. I'm pretty excited.
I really, really hope that becomes some sort of an industry term that people use, like for just a very grounded game, you know?
Right.
It's really boots on the ground. Like, I think Mario Rabbids is really interesting because Mario's never really been a boots on the ground kind of guy, you know? He's always been, you know, in the clouds and, you know, pipes and mushrooms, but he's real boots on the ground.
Yeah, none of that hat on the dinosaur stuff. They're going back to the boots on the ground. Yeah. That's what's happening.
Here. All right, guys, we're gonna take it. It's ours now. All right, let's start a new podcast called Boots on the Ground.
Oh my god,
that's a new blog series. Good. All right, just stay tuned to the InnerGamer.
Stay tuned for Boots on the Ground series.
Oh man. So number two, back around to the beginning, Devin. What is your number two?
Number two, Destiny 2.
Ironically, it's number two.
Lots of twos. Lots of number twos. I hope Destiny 2 isn't a number two. Nope.
Why are we doing this? What has happened
a piece
to
of
my group
two.
Of friends?
Sorry.
We're all,
sorry.
Like I said, friendships end.
Garbage?
They start and end on podcasts.
Destiny 2. I am excited because this has been... We knew all the criticisms from the first Destiny.
Right.
And we've talked about them at length. By the time the game stopped making content, it was good. It took four DLCs, and now the community is getting a Destiny that they deserve. Yes, there are still some criticisms with some of the classes, like the Hunters still just get shit on, and I feel so bad for them. I'm so sorry. Hunter
I
players
get killed
out
by
I love
hunters.
Though. Hunters are so great.
They're pole dancers now. Sorry.
Damn.
And Titans always get the love, but I've always played the Warlock. That's
Me
always
too.
Been my go-to. The new mechanics just look so much fun. The new element of adding ice in there, I think, is great. And then getting a very straightforward, in-depth story is what we've
Fingers
all wanted.
Crossed.
I have faith in it, man. I really do. The fact that through the development of this game, we haven't had a, oh, by the way, we half the staff quit. So-and-so was fired.
It's not out yet. Give it some time.
Dude, the game's done.
Yeah, I know.
That happened with Destiny 1, so we're past that.
We're past that. So I feel like we're going to get a solid product this time around, because I still had a ton of fun with the first Destiny, and this is going to deliver a solid experience for all people involved, and hopefully we see some new fire team stuff you can do, whether it be three people, four people, or 17 people, who knows?
Well, we saw what happened with Halo, and how once Bungie stopped working on Halo, how that went from like way up here down to like way down here.
Yeah.
So we know Bungie has it in them. They just need to
deliver
it. And I think the beginning of the first game was all about building up those mechanics, building that, setting everything up, which it sucks it had to be the first game for them to do that. But I'm hoping now, I mean, they've clearly listened to the community a lot based on what they've said thus far. I just hope when the game does arrive that it's awesome. Austin's a naysayer, but that's okay.
We won't get into that.
That's okay.
I'm Austin. I don't like fun.
Didn't they also bring back some of the writers that left during the production of Destiny?
Yes. Some of the people who were once let go or who left initially have now come back, and they are continuing with the stories that they originally wanted to go with. So we're actually picking up where essentially we were supposed to be left off at. And I that's great in my opinion. And yeah, they may not know what the darkness is, whatever. I didn't give a shit about that. I wanted to see about the enemies that we were facing there on planet side.
But they are the darkness.
You guys didn't know that yet?
I'm going to take this Master Chief helmet and I'm going to beat you to death with it. That's what's going to happen.
I'd probably shatter one blow.
Yeah, don't do that. That'd be bad. Okay, yeah, I'm excited about Destiny 2. It's not on my list, but it's definitely a game that I will be buying and picking up on PC. I hope you get on PC too.
I suppose.
We'll see what happens. Austin, number two.
Mario Odyssey.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yep.
I haven't played a
Mario game since 64, and this just looks like a ton of fun. And I played at E3, and it was a ton of fun. So there's a lot of side quests. There's a lot of things to do. There's a lot of different gameplay elements that switch it up. Get it? Because it's a Switch, so it's switched up.
If we make that fucking joke one more time on this podcast, Jesus.
Devin's head is going to explode.
God.
Somebody asked me last night, do you ever get tired of switching out the controllers? And I was like, well, it's called a Switch for a reason.
Anyway.
I'm so clever.
Our Odyssey just looks like a ton of fun, and I'm ready to jump back into that world of Mario. So
yeah,
perfect. Louise, number two.
Ooh, number two, a Return to Castle Wolfenstein, Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus. So, I love first-person shooters that are only single-player focused. Those were the FPSs that I grew up on as a kid. It's why, Brett, I know you have reservations about Call of Duty, mostly because the single-player has kind of taken a deep, deep dive, which sucks. So I'm hoping that this will reintroduce this first-person, single-player-focused game back into sort of the limelight, and I hope that people who make first-person shooters will kind of take this as a cue to say, hey, maybe we should just do something single-player-focused and not really focus so much on the multiplayer aspect of it. And I don't want to beat a dead horse, but The New Order was great, Old Blood was great, Wolfenstein has never really not delivered, and I think this is looking like probably the best one they've had in a while. It looks heavy. It's not boots on the ground, I won't say that. But it looks pretty heavy. It looks pretty tight.
It's wheels on the ground. It's wheels on the ground.
Oh, man.
Because you're in a wheelchair.
Yeah, Wolfenstein it's up there. It was a close to a number one. It's like a 1A, 1B for me, kind of.
Yeah.
But Wolfenstein is so far away, but so close. I just want to play it right now. I'm going to play The New Order again probably pretty soon here after I finish Horizon. I've been saying that for like eight months now.
haven't we all
one of these days,
right? So my number two is another number two, Star Wars Battlefront 2. We've talked about this numerous times, so I won't go on and on about this, but I'm excited because it looks like it's the Star Wars Battlefront that I've always wanted, and the gameplay looks fun, and
I'm so surprised this is so high on your list. I'm happy.
I'm a DICE fanatic. Like, anything that DICE touches
is gold to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love Battlefield 1. I love Battlefield 4. I love Battlefield 3. I love everything Battlefield has ever done and been a part of. And then now we have Battlefront 2 being made by them. So makes me happy. So that's my number two. That's all I'm going to say on it. It's pretty awesome. Back around to the beginning. Devin, you're number one. Let's hear it. The number one.
Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely Wolfenstein.
Very nice.
Yeah, I've loved the Wolfenstein series myself. Luis, as you said, there's just something about this first-person shooter that is able to deliver so many unique items, be it atmosphere, mechanics, story, narrative, the characters, all of it to me. This, from the trailer, I saw something that I have been wanting in a shooter for a long time.
Yeah.
That I haven't had in a long time. And this is where I think we're going to get a big contender for Game of the Year.
Ooh, nice. Wow.
With
wow.
Wolfenstein.
Putting That's it good. Out there. Yeah. Damn.
I'm just saying. The trailer alone, man. Mm.
Good.
Sci-fi Very zombies. Good. Dude, I'm in. I'm in.
I can't wait for a Game of the Year talk. There's so many titles.
Oh, man. It's going to be hard. It's going to be really... I don't know.
It's going to be hard.
It may
yeah.
be hard. It may be hard.
It should be hard, but I don't think it's going to. That's yeah. just me.
I mean, Breath of the Wild is yeah. is up there. But
Top five.
That's what we're talking about right now. We're talking Top about three. The other game. So, Austin, number one, tell us what your title is for number
My
one.
My number one is Battlefront 2.
That surprises Ooh. Me, actually.
I like a good multiplayer shooter. That's basically, I grew up in my teenage years with Halo 2, Battlefield and Battlefront, actually. I played that a lot. And,
yeah.
I'm always looking for a good one. And this actually looks like DICE, a game developer, actually listened to the community and really changed it up. And if you look at all the trailers, those get me pumped. And then you look at the gameplay from E3, like... Mm-hmm. It is all around a different game.
It's really just such a solid title that they're introducing.
Yeah.
That it feels so different than despite the fact that we've already had the first one.
Right. And it just didn't have legs. This actually looks like it has legs. And it's taken from all the eras of Star Wars. I mean, what else could you want?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because this has more legs because you have those little walker things you can sit up in that make you walk
faster.
I
knew you were going to make some stupid yeah. joke. I hate you. I had so
we just put a black screen on top of Brett.
Yeah, just Ferris. Edit no, that in.
Don't do that. Don't put a black
move
screen.
Move my on. Picture over his face. Yeah.
Well, I'm
the editor in chief. My first decree. Brett
no
is gone.
More fucking puns.
Whoa, hey, I love puns.
I know.
That's I would. Okay, no more saying no puns. That's the new decree.
No,
there you go. There you go. Dumb. I agree with that.
Anyway,
awesome, Louise. The big one. You're number one. Tell us.
Yes, I am the big one. I have gained some weight. You don't have to call that out, man. That's really mean.
Sorry.
Got triggered.
You know. So Super Mario Odyssey is my number one. And hear me out a little bit. I don't think this is out of the question to be a most anticipated. Not even in the slightest. I think we all have it up here somewhere, except for you, Brett, which is weird. You put Assassin's Creed above Mario?
Mm.
Ugh.
I kind of figured everybody was going to put Mario
it
on here.
It does look really
so,
good.
Yeah.
That said, Super Mario Odyssey, reason why I think it's probably going to be a 1A, 1B for Game of the Year is because the trend in recent times has been a Game of the Year candidate and a Game of the Year winner have always been good games versus good and different games. So you had The Witcher 3 winning it all a few years ago. You had Overwatch. You have all of these games that have elements that are great. And then they have elements that are great and are also accompanied by something completely different. And I think there's nothing like Super Mario Odyssey. And I don't think anyone would have thought that in 2017, a platformer first was going to be in the running for something like this. For me, it's a return to, like Austin was saying, the days of Super Mario 64 and Sunshine, when these kind of hub world Super Marios existed and kind of lived and breathed through those worlds that you would go into. And it's those elements and the fact that Mario is due for another amazing game that kind of put this up there for me. And I mean, I haven't played a platformer since Ratchet and Clank, and that one is pretty straightforward. And I'm just excited for all of the different possibilities with a game like this.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, Super Mario I'm really pumped about it. And this was a hard choice. to make because there are so many games that are really awesome and exciting that are coming out down the line. But
I'm sure we all had a hard time with our list.
Yeah.
They were not easy choices.
So my number one is South Park, The Fractured Butthole. I've been waiting on this for a very long time. And South Park, to me, is one of my most beloved TV shows. And in a game form, it's really awesome. And having played it and seeing the depth that they've added to this game from the first one, this is a game. The first one was basically a 10-hour long South Park movie that had some gamey elements to it. This is a game first, and then everything that you love about South
Park.
Fan
service second, game first.
Yes. And to me, this is, it's a, like we've talked about Battlefront, what we talked about Destiny, what we've even talked about with Call of Duty, and all of these games here are, they have listened to their fans, they have taken that input, and they've applied it to their next title. And that's what this game is going to be for me. And it's flipping hilarious. And there are things that they put in here that they never even put in TV shows that are just, it's so bad, but so funny and awesome. And I cannot wait for
true Trey Parker and Matt form, tour de form.
Yep.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. So anyway, that's everybody's top five most anticipated games for 2017 at the second half of 2017.
Right.
So, everybody, check those out. They're going to be releasing over the next 5 months.
Let us know what your top five are. Maybe.
Yeah, if you guys have a top five or you disagree with some of these that we have on there, let us know in the comments and give us a shout. And we might talk about it sometime on the podcast, or we'll respond to you on the social medias because that's what we do. So let us know. Give us your feedback. And that concludes our discussion topic this week.
Woo! So thanks for watching or thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for watching or thanks for listening. So that's going to conclude everything. If you guys have any questions, please let us know at theinnergamer.net. Hello at theinnergamer.net. And that's going to wrap our show. Guys, what are we going to be playing next week? Got any cool
a
games?
A game. I hope I play a game next week.
I hope
week.
You do too, man. Ha, ha, ha. I really
we
do.
We need to play Don't Starve.
Together.
Yes. Brett, get it. Quit being a huge puss, dude.
Yeah,
it's really not that scary, except the dogs are kind of scary, actually.
Oh, it's not that it's not scary to me. It's just challenging.
It seems like it's intense, but once
I don't
you get like
challenging.
First, you can get through the first 10 days pretty easy as long as you don't
starve.
You know, not. Yeah, ha, ha, ha. Okay, that's actually. I think we need to have a pun counter for this episode. We should put it in the bottom left corner.
Ding, 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 wing, ding.
Or. Like
yeah, if we don't do that, that's fine. Yeah.
Not,
yeah.
Cause pun counter makes it sound like indifferent, but it needs to be a bad connotation. Like, we can all have gold stars, and then by the end of it, we see how many gold stars we're left with.
Yeah.
But no puns.
I dig it.
Yeah, Don't Starve, dude. We should play it. I think we should.
Cool.
All of us. Start a server.
So, Devin, you're going to be playing Don't Starve? I mean, you've been playing something. What are you playing right now? You got something going on there.
Metal Slug.
Oh my gosh. This guy's playing Metal Slug. He's like addicted.
Shut up. It's an amazing game. This next week, it's finally slowed down at work for me so I can actually enjoy something to play. And
that's good. Slow down because you're playing Metal Slug and slugs are slow.
You lost all your stars, Brett.
I just lost everything.
The game I'm going to play is Pull Brett's Teeth from His Mouth. With a wrench.
Or whack a Brett.
Ferris is giving you that. Oh, so look, she got something for you.
That's not a game. So what is your game you'll be playing?
Like I mentioned last week, I haven't still had a chance to get into it, but I really want to play Oxenfree.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Oxenfree's on there, as well as I have a couple more in the Steam library that I'm looking to get. I actually haven't played Payday 2.
Oh, that's a good
and
game.
A friend just gifted it to me, so I'm gonna jump into that probably as well.
Let me know when you do it, because I have it, and it's not a game to play without friends. So you got to play with people.
Right.
It's like a Left 4 Dead style thing. So we can
like
play together.
Or two or something.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. What are you playing?
Probably more Splatoon.
Nice. Nice. Yeah.
I'm just getting into it. Like, it's getting good.
Battlegrounds also.
Yeah.
Probably. You know what? I think I'm taking a break.
Oh, good.
I literally feel the more I play this game, the worse I get at it. Like, I'm serious. Like, it just gets worse.
I'm the same way.
I don't understand. Like, we were in a battle last night, and I got the Josh ended up dying. You were there. Brett was there. I had the Car 9, and I was like, okay, I see this dude on the tree. So I thought he shot one of our other friends there. But no, there was a guy behind the rock, and no one really told me. So the guy popped around the rock right as Josh was like, hey, there's a guy behind the rock. I was like, what? I died. I was like, how do I not know this? How do I just get worse at this game?
It's so, the graphics, man.
I was literally, I was just so pissed off last night. I was like, you know what?
I'm done.
I need to put this, I need to put this game away for a little bit.
I need to step away.
Guys, just play Overwatch on PC with me, guys. I'm in it again.
Oh, I think I'm going to have to do it.
I'm going to play Doomfist now that he's officially released.
Dude, he is stupid overpowered. He's stupid overpowered. So overpowered. He's very, very hard to use, but he's stupid overpowered.
Yeah, he really is. I'm going to be playing, actually, I was playing, I'm going to play Pyre. I got Pyre. I'm going to play
All right.
Very good call.
So that'll be my game to play. And I might pick up some of these other games that are coming out next week. Should be good. Anyway, that is everything, guys. Be sure and check us out next Tuesday for more from your favorite video game podcast. Visit theinnergamer.net for all of our latest podcasts, blogs, videos, and social channels. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review on iTunes or tell a friend.
Also, we have a Patreon set up, which is a way for you, our listeners, to donate to the cause and bring you all the content you want to see and hear. Plus, if you do support us on Patreon, we do have wonderful rewards waiting for you, such as getting a shout out on the podcast, coming on the podcast, playing some D&D with us. So please head over to theinnergamer.net and click donate to contribute. I remembered it this time.
Oh, cool.
That was really good. That was from memory.
That's impressive. My name is Brayden Oski.
I'm Austin Morales.
I'm Devin Dury.
And I'm Luis Gonzalez.
And you've been listening to
The Inner Gamer.
Wow. All right, Brett, get all your puns out now so we don't have to do any next episode.
Pun.
Go.
Pun.
All the puns. Pun. Go. Go.
Literally all say the them pun. All because the more you say, the more I would just want to punch you.
There was something I was going to say earlier that was a pun.
Stupid?
No, it wasn't stupid. Well,
annoying?
Yeah, it was probably stupid.
Ridiculous?
I can't remember. What
didn't
it was.
Serve ridiculous. A purpose?
Devin, that was terrible.
Jeez, man.